from 2 Samuel 7, verses 1 through 14. King David was settled in his palace, and the Lord kept him safe from all his enemies. Then the king said to the prophet Nathan, "Here I am living in a house built on cedar, but God's covenant box is kept in a tent." Nathan answered, "Do whatever you have in mind, because the Lord is with you." But that night the Lord said to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David that I say to him, 'You are not the one to build the temple for me to live in. From the time I rescued the people of Israel from Egypt until now, I have never lived in a temple. I've traveled around living in a tent. And in all my traveling with the people of Israel, I never asked any of the leaders that I appointed why they had not built me a temple made of cedar. So tell my servant David that I, the Lord Almighty, say to him, 'I took you from looking after sheep in the fields and made you the ruler of my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have defeated all your enemies as you advanced. I will make you as famous as the greatest leaders in the world. I have chosen a place for my people Israel and have settled them there where they will live without being oppressed anymore. Ever since they entered this land, they have been attacked by violent people, but this will not happen again. I promise to keep you safe from all your enemies and to give you descendants. And when you die and are buried in your ancestors, I will make one of your sons king and keep your kingdom strong. He will be the one to build the temple for me, and I will make sure that his dynasty continues forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. And when he does wrong, I will punish him as a father punishes his son. But I will not withdraw my support from him as I did from Saul, whom I removed so that you could be king."
From John 6. After this, Jesus went across Lake Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they had seen his miracles of healing the sick. Jesus went up a hill and sat down with his disciples. The time for the Passover festival was near. Jesus looked around and saw that a large crowd was coming to him. So he asked Philip, "Where can we buy enough food to feed all these people?" He said this to test Philip. Actually, he already knew what he would do. Philip answered, "For everyone to have even a little, it would take more than 200 silver coins to buy enough bread." Another one of his disciples, Andrew, who was Simon Peter's brother, said, "There is a boy here who has 5 loaves of barley bread and 2 fish, but they will certainly not be enough for all these people." "Make the people sit down," Jesus told them. There was a lot of grass there. So all the people sat down. There were about 5,000 men. Jesus took the bread, gave thanks to God, and distributed it to the people who were sitting there. He did the same with the fish, and they all had as much as they wanted. When they were all full, he said to the disciples, "Gather the pieces left over. Let us not waste a bit." So they gathered them all and filled 12 baskets with the pieces left over from the 5 barley loaves which the people had eaten. Seeing this miracle that Jesus had performed, the people there said, "Surely this is a prophet who was to come into the world." Jesus knew that they were about to come and seize him in order to make him king by force, so he went off again to the hills by himself. This is the word of God for the people of God.
What do you do when you are feeling overwhelmed? Now, some of the things that overwhelm us are great big. They're hard, and they take a while to get past. Some of the things that are overwhelming are momentary. They're very real while they're happening, and then they're not. I had one of those a moment ago. I knocked over my glass of water on the pew in which I was sitting, not on the floor, in the pew. And my family was scrambling trying to correct my error. And God bless them. But we were trying to have communion, and I'm thinking, well, what do we do? I said, I'm just going to sit back. It's just water. It won't hurt anything. I'm glad there's no choir behind me. The back of my pants are soaking wet at this moment. But that's okay. As it was happening, it was kind of overwhelming. When we are overwhelmed, we do things almost always that are unhealthy. We drink too much. We eat too much, or we eat things that are unhealthy. I was sitting in my office, I guess 2 months ago, and a woman from our community was in there sharing a story and looking for some help. And she was talking about her stress. And I said, so what do you do when you're feeling stressed or overwhelmed? She said, I'll tell you what I did yesterday. What did you do? I was driving down Patton Avenue, and I was going by Krispy Kreme, and the Hot Donuts Now sign was on, and I pulled right in there, and I bought a dozen donuts, and I ate 9 of them before I got back to Candler. We handle our stresses differently. But most often when we don't handle them, they handle us. And that's what this lesson is about, believe it or not. This is a very common Bible lesson. If you never really attended church except to maybe go to vacation Bible school in the summer, there's a good chance you would still know the story of Jesus feeding more than 5,000 people from a little boy's lunchbox. It's a heck of a story. As Jesus and his disciples are there by this great sea we call Galilee, they see this mass of people coming toward them. And imagine, please, it is a mass, more than 5,000 people coming at them. The disciples knew that the people were going to be wanting Jesus and his time. They knew that they were going to want Jesus to meet their most basic of bodily needs. They would need to eat. What do we do? Asked Philip. I can just see him running around. What do we do? What do we do? People who are in leadership, but particularly in faith communities, take responsibility for everything going on around them, even when it's not their responsibility. I read a cartoon back in the 80s, but it's so true, I remember it well to this day. It says, how can you tell who the pastor is at a church picnic and it's raining? And the answer is, he's the one going around to everyone saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Taking responsibility for things that he is not responsible for. So 5,000 guests plus guests show up for this meeting with Jesus. I remember when I was a child, it was often that I would bring a friend home at dinner time and I'd say, Mama, is it all right if Spencer eats with us? Mama, can Charlie eat supper with us? Is it all right if Billy and Charlie come and eat supper with us? And I'm pretty sure I'm right when I say my mother never once said, well, not tonight, son. She always set an extra plate or two. And we would sit down and eat. I remember coming home from college and there would be a car full of unexpected guests and we all wanted home cooking. And we'd pull in and I'd say, Mom, do you mind letting us eat dinner with you tonight? No, of course not. And somehow there was always enough. My mama was amazing. But even my mama, I don't want to think about what she would have done if I'd pulled up in the front and me and 5,000 of my closest friends were standing outside and I said, Mom, what do you think? Jesus knew there was not a market anywhere that would be able to have enough groceries to supply the food needed for a mass that large. The disciples were scrambling. What do we do? What do we do? Jesus knew something. that Philip didn't know. That with God, all things become possible. Philip speaks up and says, you know, Jesus, if we had 8 months' wages, we would not have enough money to buy food for this great crowd. What are we going to do? But then something miraculous happens. Now, I know your mind is jumping ahead to the big miracle, Jesus taking a little and turning it into a lot. But there's a miracle that happens before that. While Philip is scurrying around, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Andrew then goes up to Jesus and he says what is the most absurd thing. Jesus, there is a boy here who has a little bit of bread and a little bit of fish. Why in the world would he do that? It was enough to feed a little boy, but it certainly made no difference for a crowd like this. Why would? Well, Andrew knew something was going on with Jesus that the others who were scurrying around like chickens without heads had not yet considered. Andrew knew that little in the hands of Jesus was always enough. What an amazing story. So, what's the first part of getting all these people fed? Notice what the scripture says. Jesus says, tell them to sit down. And so they do. In one of the gospels, it's a little more specific. They sat in groups of 50. Not all the gospels record that. Now, when we hold on to the things that are holding on to us, they get heavier. Jesus knew that to act as if their hunger wasn't there, wasn't real, wasn't knocking on their stomach's door, was not an option. He had to contend with it. He had to do something about it. Jesus was clear on that. When we hold on to something without really dealing with it, it gets heavier. I'm so grateful that Corinne retrieved another glass of water for me. Now, were any of you amazed when I picked up this glass of water and held it? No. Anyone in this room can do the same. Sure, you can pick up a glass of water, it's no problem. But what if you said, Joe, hold that glass of water for a minute. I could do that. I'm not going to test it, but I think I can. But what if you said, Joe, hold it up for 5 minutes? I'm not actually sure I can do that. Now, for those of you who say, well, of course you can. It's just a little old half glass of water. You go home and try it and then come back and apologize. But what if I tried to hold it up for an hour? You'd have to call an ambulance. Why? The weight didn't become greater. It's the same amount of water in the same glass, and yet requires practically nothing. But the longer I hold on to it, the heavier it gets. And that is precisely the way it is with the things in life that concern us, that worry us, that burden us. They don't have to be bad things. There's nothing bad about a glass of water. The longer I hold it, the heavier it gets. The longer I hold on to my worry about my children, are they going to be okay? The heavier that worry gets. The longer I worry about my occupation or whatever it is that's in front of me, the heavier it gets. There comes a place that I'm to let that go. That's what Jesus was beginning as he sets the people's pace for the miracle of feeding them all. The first thing he does is say, sit down. Now think about that. The first part of the miracle of feeding the 5,000 was taking a load off. Just relaxing. Taking it in. I used to stack lumber. I did it for 4 years all through college. I did it on holidays and Christmas, Easter, and all that, and I did it all summer long. And in the summer, we would work from 5 in the morning till 5 in the afternoon, 5 days a week, 60 hours. It was hard work. Big, thick, sappy boards that had been in the woods just the day before were now in front of us, and we were stacking these boxes. And every day, we would go in and load those boxes, and at about 10 o'clock in the morning, when we could hardly move another step, the whistle would sound. And we could sit down for 20 minutes. Just sit there. And I remember this as plainly as can be. When I first sat, I just slumped over and just sat and ate a PB&J. But by the time that whistle sounded again 20 minutes later, I'm up. But then the lunch whistle sounded just in the nick of time because I was just about out of energy. We all were. But when we sat, when we stopped, we replenished. The first thing to do to move beyond the things that overwhelm you is to sit, to not move too fast. Secondly, we're to focus on what is immediately in front of you. Let me tell you something interesting. There's a scientific journal called Nature. I used to get it. I don't anymore. I need to resubscribe. It's a great magazine. But they have all kinds of interesting articles. One of them was this. If you really do want to stop a fly that has gotten loose in your house, and who among us has not tried to do that? Do not go up to it trying to slap it down with a newspaper or your hand or anything like that. The article, and I've never tried this, says get a tissue in each hand, and when the fly lights, go up to it with your hands in front of you. And capture and stop the fly. The article goes on to explain that to do it with the left hand alone or the right hand alone will not work. But when you do it with both, it will. Why? Because the fly's eyes are able, they're variegated, multifaceted. They're able to judge what to do with an immediate pressing threat. Unless it's coming from various angles. If it is coming from two sources, it confuses the fly. When you are overwhelmed and you are looking at what the burden is and then another burden comes along and yet another, you finally cower and say, I just can't take it anymore. Jesus, I think, would say, focus. Find what the biggest need for the moment that you're in is and address it. The people needed feeding. They needed a lot of things. And 5,000 people, I promise you, some of them were lame and they needed help with legs or arms or fingers or toes that didn't work. But that was not the immediate need. Some of the people were perhaps mentally disadvantaged. Some of the people were without doubt depressed. On and on and on. But Jesus focused on the one, the singular need that was larger than the others. When you're filled with the sense of stress, when you're overwhelmed, sit. Focus. There's a third step. Make a new beginning. Have you ever thought about the fact that Jesus in his power, in his authority, could have, out of thin air, produced all the food they needed? He didn't need a little boy's lunch box. Jesus could have, at a moment's notice, just by the thought of it, produced all the food, all the bread and fish they would need. But he didn't. Jesus took advantage of the resources already at hand, and he made something new come of it. Jesus would have us find out that the resources he has given you already are enough for you to overcome whatever you're facing. Some of you in this room are facing some things right now that I can't spend my mind in that area very long without feeling broken and helpless. I cannot imagine how strong you must be. But even you, Jesus is saying, I've put at your disposal everything you need to overcome what you're in. Sit. Focus. Use what's at hand. When couples come into my office, most often it is finances that have gone awry. Now, they may be at each other's throats, but if you get back, if we peel the layers of the onion away, at the heart of that is they've allowed their finances to get so out of control, they're now upset about everything. And so I'll ask the question, have you ever lived within a budget? And the answer is always one of two. No, we've never done that. Or, well, we had one, but we don't do that anymore. Here's what I've found. A lot of people will live a lot better on a lot less if they'll simply live by what's at hand. You don't have to have more to get out of the hole that you're in. You can live a lot better than you're living now on a lot less if you use the resources of your mind, your ideas, your resources. There is a final word. Gather up the leftovers. In this story, we know that the little boy found out that his little tiny lunch that was just for him had fed thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands. And then they had 12 baskets full left over. You've been through some hard times in your life. What is amazing is you have come through every single one of them. The fact that you're here this morning is a testament to the reality that whatever you faced, that while you were going through it, you were thinking, I don't think I can get through this. You did. You did survive it. You are here. You did find yourself victorious, at least in some fashion. So what do? You gather up the leftovers of your life. You gather up the leftovers and share them with others. When you go through a difficult experience, a thing that is so overwhelming that you just don't think you can get beyond it, remember that your God has made a way for you to have abundance even with less. There's such a tragic story that took place April 10th of 1963. I was 8 years old in 63. The United States Navy had a nuclear submarine called the Thresher. And we'll never know what all happened, but for whatever reason, it began to plunge to depths beyond its ability to withstand the pressure of the water. And sure enough, when it plunged deep enough, the submarine broke into bits so tiny that practically nothing was ever found. All aboard were lost. Now that's what happens when you have pressure that's unabated and you just keep piling on more pressure and you keep allowing more to pile on to more to pile on to more. It overcomes you. You say, well, Joe, I can't stop what life throws at me. It throws at me so many things. What am I going to do? But you know what's really interesting about the story of the thresher? At depths where it was when it blew apart, and at depths far deeper where the pressure is even greater, there are fish that swim through those waters just fine. Why did they make it through and this steel nuclear submarine blow apart? Because they have an assembly within them, these fish do, that regulate against the outside pressure. And so when the pressure increases, they have this ability to offset that, exerting pressure outward. God wants to be that within you. God wants to, inside you, give you all you need to exert all the pressure that's needed to overcome the things that are coming at you. There is no promise in Scripture that life will be simple. But there is the promise, lo, I will be with you always. God is within you, and there is no amount of exertion, pressure, stress that needs to overwhelm you. God will give you all you need to move through it. Sit down. Focus. What's really at work here? Pick up the pieces. Heavenly Father, so grateful that you are the God of that old covenant nation who just couldn't stop from getting themselves into trouble. Because we saw that you put up with them, we trust you will put up with us. And in those rare moments when they, old Israel, got it right and they truly did lean upon the Lord God, they could withstand anything. And in our days of being overwhelmed by death or sickness, broken dreams, external forces that we did not create but must live within, remind us, oh God, that you put within us your very self, that we will be able to survive whatever is pushing against us. We will not be overcome. So teach us to know we need not be overwhelmed through Jesus. Amen.